Talk radio for Catholic life to start your day.
Morning Air
on Relevant Radio with Glenn Leverenz. Here's your host, John Harper.
Of Advents. Glad to have you along. Glenn, for John, for this portion, I think he went back to the kitchen for more leftovers, and who could blame him here as we're getting back at it after a long Thanksgiving weekend. I hope that went well for you, and we're underway with Advent now. Later on this hour, we'll talk with Tom Peterson, president and founder of Catholics Come Home. Also, homily highlights from around the country. Some great preaching in those homilies that were heard over Thanksgiving weekend. John's along with that. A new story corner as well for Advent. We'll have Advent and Christmas stories all the way through the season, getting underway today as well. That's all coming up. But first, we start with waiting. Waiting to start. Waiting. Little kids, Christmas on the way. Anticipating presents? Are we anticipating the arrival of our Savior? Talking about waiting during Advent, we're doing it with Laura DeMaria. She's a nonprofit management pro and a writer from Metro Washington, D.C. A revert to the faith, writes about spiritual study, prayer, living the Catholic faith at lauradeMaria.com. Laura, good morning and happy Advent to you.
Yeah, good morning and happy liturgical New Year as well.
That's right. Now, as humans, we're kind of wired to like brand new starts, aren't we? Whether it be the first of the year with the ball drop, whether it be I'm going to do everything perfect now as Lent rolls around. Advent actually marks the start of a new church year, and we kind of like those new starts, don't we?
Oh, totally. I think it's just as humans, we're wired to want to think, all right, now I can begin. Now I'm ready. Now I can start anew.
Well, that new start, but yet we're still waiting. It's almost like we're in the blocks, but getting to that first hurdle, not like it's a hurdle to hop over, but Christmas waiting out there. But between now and then, getting prepared. We're going to talk about learning to wait a little bit, which whether we're little kids or adults or people just wanting things to get back to normal after COVID, we're waiting and waiting. But we have some good examples of those who can successfully wait in terms of saints.
Yes, I was, thinking about just how this whole Advent is unique in that it's a season of waiting. And I don't think we really have any other liturgical seasons where that's the focus, and the reason why we think so much about waiting during this season is because the whole purpose is preparing for Christmas and thinking about what that will mean, the coming of Christ and Jesus being born. And so the USCCB tells us that because Advent is a season of hoping and waiting, it's a time of preparation that directs our hearts and minds to Christ's second coming at the end of time, and also to the anniversary of the Lord's birth on Christmas. So we've got this kind of double sense of waiting, both the immediate, we know in 4 weeks it's going to be Christmas and Jesus will be here, but then there's also just in the life of a Catholic, in the life of the Catholic faith, we are waiting in the long run for his return. So we got to get used to waiting. And a lot of times waiting feels like it's not part of the plan, but I think it is. As Catholics and as Christians, we are called to wait in many ways. And that doesn't mean that there isn't a plan. It means that we have an opportunity to really practice patience as a virtue. And so the very first person, the very first saint that comes to mind when I'm thinking about waiting is Saint Monica, of course, the mother of Saint Augustine. So we know, I would assume that most of our listeners know the story of both Saint Augustine and Saint Monica. But basically, Saint Monica was a holy and devout woman long before her son Saint Augustine was. And so for years, I think really decades, she was praying for him to come to the church, back to the church. And he lived kind of a sinful lifestyle. He had a child out of wedlock. He lived with a woman who wasn't his wife and was a very into the sensual pleasures of the world. And she prayed and prayed and prayed and waited and waited. And finally he came around, and now we know him as one of the greatest saints of the church. So there's lots of examples like that in our faith to help us more deeply understand what it means to wait and to pray and to wait on God's will and to see what he wants to do. And there's lots of great examples like that.
Waiting for Christmas, waiting for COVID to be over, the thing so many are waiting for. Again, the most common prayer request we get here at Relevant Radio is waiting, praying that kids come back to the faith. Mm-hmm. And there's that example in St. Monica. It's not easy, of course, but even as adults, we don't have the best patience for that. How can we be more patient about things that really seem to be kind of out of our hands?
That's a great question. I think that's a question for our whole lives. And something, I think the first answer is always prayer. And praying for what you desire, for what's on your heart, is always a good thing. And I am praying for patients all the time. And sometimes it's about really major things. And sometimes it's about very small things. You've mentioned COVID and living through coronavirus and just everything that this pandemic has entailed, with businesses being shut down and children out of school. We have gotten quite accustomed to waiting at this point. But we know that there is an end in sight. And very early on in this whole experience, a colleague said to me, well, you know, it's every day is one day closer to the end. And that's true. And so that's also true when it comes to thinking about patients and how to acquire greater patience. Whatever it is that you're praying for, however God answers it, every day brings you closer to the resolution or the solution, whether that's that thing you're patiently waiting for or a piece about, well, it's just not meant to be. So I think prayer and patience go hand in hand.
As we're into Advent, talking about waiting and patience with Laura DeMarina on DeMaria on Morning Air this morning here on Relevant Radio. We're not so good at patience as modern folks, as Western folks. But one of the things, if we've been Christian for any amount of time, that can really help, Laura, can it? Is going back and remembering how God has helped us in the past.
Yes, that's a really beautiful thought. And I've spoken on this show with you and John before about my experience of doing the spiritual exercises of St. Ignatius. And there's a part of that, there's a what's called a day, you know, or a movement, a week, where you are reflecting on how God has worked in your life up until that point. So even going back to maybe a time when you weren't Catholic or a time when it wasn't as much a part of your life and you weren't paying attention essentially to how God is working in your life. And the answer is, well, it doesn't matter because God was paying attention to you and God is working in your life. So it's kind of a review of your life, an exercise and a review of your life and saying, you know, I got this job or I met this person or I moved to this place and I didn't know what God was going to be doing in my life. I didn't know how he was setting up these steps for success, whatever that means, however it looks, but he was. And I was actually thinking about this very same thing yesterday in some of our readings for yesterday, which was the first Sunday of Advent. There was a line that said, God is faithful. I can't remember which of the readings it was from, but God is faithful. And that really made me pause and think, because that's what it all comes down to. It's not about our ability to be faithful to God, even though he asks us to. It doesn't matter because he always will be. And I think you're exactly right, remembering those times when something in your life went away, you know, maybe you didn't know why, or maybe it felt like a loss and ended up being more of a redirection. He will always be with us and he is faithful to us, just as he will be right now in this season, both of Advent and of living through various world events that are going on right now.
We've got some great saints who've waited well through time that can help us before we dive back into those. But just another thought about as we wait, not many of us live on the land anymore. And it seemed like it might have been easier in more directly agricultural times when we would see that natural cycle of the earth growing around us and harvest time and then the dormant time in the winter and back to growth again in the spring. But as urban dwellers, you know, maybe we have to take a clue from the trees in the front yard, perhaps. But
yeah.
is that something that we don't take enough advantage of, is the example of nature reminding us that God brings things back to life?
I agree completely. I think that's a beautiful point and one that I have thought of. So I technically live in a pretty city-ish kind of area, but just close enough to some suburbs where it's easy to go for a walk and get out more to where there's more plants and nature and life. And I'm very close to the Mount Vernon Trail right along the Potomac River here, which goes all the way down to George Washington's estate. And so even this weekend, I was on a walk along the Potomac. And I've been thinking about over the past, you know, now whatever it's been 10 months, I've seen my neighborhood and this area in a newer light because I've been able to watch the changing of the seasons. And so I'm much more intimately aware of what flowers are blooming when, you know, and I know now, okay, next year, I know at this time, these different flowers are going to be here, and paying attention to how my neighbors are cultivating their yards. And it has allowed me to have more of an acceptance of the changing of seasons, I think. So rather than, I'm someone who really likes warm weather in the summer. So when fall rolls around, I think, oh boy, here we go. It's going to be dark out. You know, it's not the greatest thing for your mood, you know, to have so much darkness. But weirdly this year, I have found much more peace in thinking, well, I've watched these trees bloom. You know, way at the beginning of this year, they weren't blooming back in March, and then they were, and then there were flowers, and now the leaves are falling, but there's an assurance that, but they'll be back, you know, they'll be back in the spring and during the summer. And I think that's exactly right. And goes back to that point of God being faithful to us. He's faithful in nature as well. And so all the beauty that we look forward to, the various seasons of lives, it'll be coming back. And I think that's a sign of hope.
One good spot for natural beauty, we may think about the beautiful country of Ireland, the mission field for St. Patrick, who won over that beautiful land, but he didn't do it in a day.
Yes. Yeah. St. Patrick, I think, is another saint who waited. So we know him as the patron of Ireland. And it took a lot of work to convert that whole island. And I was thinking about it in contrast to what happened in Mexico when Our Lady of Guadalupe arrived. Now, she's the queen of the universe, so I think she can show up and convert a whole continent and, you know, no big deal. But for us humans, like St. Patrick, it probably took a little while. And it makes me think about how in the spiritual life, a lot of times we are planting seeds and we don't always see the fruits of those, or it could just take a very, very long time. So there's no doubt that St. Patrick, in the work that he was doing in Ireland, he had to wait. And maybe there were bureaucratic processes or, you know, people who were just resistant, whatever it was. And eventually, of course, we know how that ended. But St. Patrick is surely someone who has experience with waiting and someone who we could call on when we're waiting in our own work to bear fruit.
Mm. Now, like many, you know, I watched a little football over the weekend. And part of that, of course, a big part of that is teamwork. And sometimes in terms of helping God's will to be done on the planet, again, part of our job, our part on the team might not be able to be the one to see the final fruits, but we just have to kind of get out there, and another agricultural reference, right? Just plant those seeds, or maybe it's on the radio and those words flow out there, right? Those words of truth, but we don't see them come to fruition ourselves. But we have to realize that our part in God's equation might be the seed spreader as opposed to the harvester.
Yes. And it's good to avoid judging our own work in the spiritual life, I think, particularly as it pertains to others. I've spoken with you all before about the Legion of Mary, and that's something that the Legion, working in the Legion, has taught me. That's another product of Ireland. It was founded by Frank Duff in the early 1900s. But just that idea that it's when you are speaking to someone about their faith life, you're not going to convert them in 5 minutes, most likely. You know, a lot of those types of conversations are the work of a lifetime, and maybe you're the person who has one conversation with them, and it's 10 years later that they've been thinking about going back to church, and they finally do. And that's true, I think, also for, as you already mentioned, a lot of people are concerned about their family members coming back to the faith, or just being in it, you know, to begin with and accepting it. And as long as we are faithful to that call to share the good news with others, that's what God asks of us. And remembering that the fruit and the benefits of any of those types of conversations or work are in God's hands. So even when you have quote unquote success, it's not because of you. You know, God has worked through you to make that happen. So having a little bit of humility in those situations and turning it over to God is also always going to be a good idea.
Talking about waiting and learning patience, learning from the saints with Laura DeMaria today on Morning Air here. It's Glenn in for John for this portion here on Relevant Radio. Another great saint learning patience from, my goodness, St. Josephine spent part of her life as a slave waiting for freedom.
Yes, so St. Josephine Baquita, I love her. She was born in Sudan, and I did the math. I think it was when she was around 20 is when she became free. So she spent the first portion of her life as a slave and under some just excruciatingly painful and terrible conditions. I mean, she was tortured by some of her slave masters. And what happened is that she ended up with a family that took her to Italy as part of their travels. And she was smart, and she knew that slavery was not legal in Italy. And so she essentially petitioned for her own freedom. But it was after a long, long time of suffering. And St. Josephine is now venerated for victims of slavery and domestic violence and human trafficking. And she ended up entering religious life, and there's this convent and the church where she lived her life are still available to be visited. But I just think about, as I would guess that most of the people listening to this program, myself included, we have pretty good lives, you know, all things considered. We have cell phones and we have, you know, heat and homes and have never lived anything close to what she did. And so that's just a whole other type of waiting. But I think when we can pray for her intercession around having patience for what feel like really unbearable situations, or just during this time of Advent, when we are aiming to grow closer to God and wanting to really lean into and live this waiting period, to speak with her and to think about her and what she lived through, and how after that horrible, abusive early part of her life, she found God and she found peace and happiness, and now she's a saint. So there are so many ways to overcome, and she is a beautiful example.
We talk about waiting in a biblical example. We think of the 3 days between the crucifixion and the resurrection of our Lord, for St. Mary Magdalene and the rest of the disciples as well, having to wait. And they would have had the promise of Christ's resurrection, but you almost wonder, was that even coming to mind in the midst of this with the shock of his death?
Right. Wouldn't that have been a confusing time, those 3 days? And similarly, even the 9 days during the first Pentecost when they were waiting for the Holy Spirit. So we take it for granted that we can understand Jesus's words pretty well, relatively speaking, because we have thousands of years of church history and tradition and teaching and popes and saints and theologians who have led the way. But for those first disciples and apostles, all of this was new and just groundbreaking and completely confusing and completely against the culture that they lived in. You know, we have kind of a little bit of a Christian culture still left, I think. And so things like, you know, pray for your enemies or forgive your enemies, that's not new to us. It's still difficult to do, but we get it, you know. But they didn't have any of that starting with. So we don't know to what degree they even understood that the resurrection was coming. I think what's so beautiful about Mary Magdalene is that, again, on this topic of being faithful in your waiting and God being faithful to you, we know that she returned to the tomb and she was there to bring spices and to do all of the traditions around a burial. So she hadn't given up, you know, so she was there. She kept on coming back. She was persistent in her waiting because God told her, Jesus told her something was going to happen. And so she believed and brought that belief to the rest of the disciples who were also in a state of doubting. And same thing with those first days when the Holy Spirit was coming and Jesus told them that and they knew, but they didn't know, you know, what that was going to look like. If Jesus says to you, okay, I'm sending the advocate, and they were probably thinking, all right, is that another person or who is this going to be who's coming to us? And so immediately in the Christian life, we see that waiting is a part of what we are called to do. And so if Jesus says, this is how it's going to be, then what we got to do is say, okay, God, your will, not mine.
When something so great as the resurrection was right around the corner, do we tend to forget that we often are waiting for something very great, and we have to wait and know it's in God's timing? And sometimes if we knew all the steps along the way that had to happen before the ultimate thing happened we're waiting for, we wouldn't be able to take those steps. And so part of God's blessing for us is maybe not knowing ahead of time.
Yes, and I think that can be a really difficult lesson because we want to know how it ends. You know, we live in a culture where you can binge watch a show in one day and know how the story goes and how the ending is. And we live in a very instant gratification kind of culture, but God doesn't change and the way that he works doesn't change, of course. And so having patience in a world that I think doesn't really reward patience. You know, we know that it's a virtue, but in work necessarily or in the culture, it's more about who can get richest and famous, most famous and, you know, most influential the quickest. I mean, think about our news cycle. You know, the president had coronavirus like not that long ago, but who even thinks about that now? You know, there's all kinds of things that just come and go in our society. And so that challenge to maintain faith and peacefulness and patience is the need is even greater, but perhaps the reward is even greater as well.
Some of these saints have been doing their stuff way back. One that's a little closer to our time in World War II, we think of the heroic virtue expressed by St. Maximilian Kolbe, giving his life for another. waiting in Auschwitz, and part of that waiting literally in a starvation bunker where, okay, here you go, we're sending you to die, and basically you just have to wait to die.
Yes. So he had multiple, I think, types of waiting in his life as well. So if we go back to the early part of his life, he had a vision of Mary when he was very young, and she said, she presented him with two crowns, and one was red and one was white, and one symbolized martyrdom, and one I think was essentially his call to the priesthood. And she said, which do you want? And he said, okay, I'll take both. So that would be great if we all had that kind of willingness to go along with, to accept the gifts that God offers us. So anyway, so then he started a very influential apostolate that was really around printing tracts around the faith and around devotion to Mary. And so he had this kind of underground, work that he did within his order. And that's essentially what the Nazis took him in for, because he was working against them and spreading information about the faith, and particularly devotion to Mary. So then he ends up...
Just a couple... Mm-hmm. Oh, excuse me. Yeah, just with a couple minutes left here with Laura DeMaria this morning. Laura, just to note, Mary, St. Mary,
yes,
the Mother of God, here's some great news for you. And, 9 months from now, this is going to be amazing. And, she had the most to wait for of all.
Yeah, I feel like her whole life was waiting. It wasn't just the waiting while she was pregnant. But I mean, if you're immaculately conceived, then probably something is bound to happen to you in your life. And we are called especially to imitate her and think about her and pray for her intercession during Advent. So she's the one to go to.
All right. And that bottom line in your notes to us, just because we have to wait doesn't mean that God has no plan for everything. Well, it's been great, and happy waiting for you as well. And I look forward to talking again soon. Laura DeMaria,
same to you, Glenn,
joining us.
Thank you.
Tom Peterson is next. We continue with more of Morning Air right here on Relevant Radio and on the Relevant Radio app.